This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, we're going to talk about a topic that's been on my mind, checklist. And I wanted to start with this. And it was while preparing for a workshop with George Kingman a few months ago, I became kind of curious about something. I touched on this a little bit in episode 103. I started collecting examples from multiple shops for how long a vehicle at a repair facility actually sits between the moment a client drops it off and initial write-ups were completed. It's drop-off and check-in, then the wait for the inspection, then the inspection itself, then the wait for estimating, then the estimating, and finally the approval. And here is the part that should bother you as much as it bothered me. If you start tracking this, you will see in most automotive service facilities, nobody in that chain is sitting around doing nothing. The mechanical specialist who finished the inspection moved on to another vehicle. The advisor building the estimates, juggling three other consecutive conversations, and everybody is busy. Everybody looks productive. We look at that model and we're tempted to call it efficient. One person, one task, moving on to the next thing the moment they are done. That is the model almost every automotive service facility imitates in some form or fashion. And on paper, it looks lean, but here's what the model actually is. It is not efficient. It is sequential and isolated, and we have mistakenly presumed that individual people staying active and busy is itself a good thing, and those are not the same thing. The vehicle does not care how busy anyone is. The vehicle and the client waiting on it only cares how long the whole chain took start to finish. And there is a second cost hiding in that same isolation, one that has nothing to do with the clock. And it is when each of those steps happens alone, one person, no one else in the room watching, listening, following along. We lose more than time. We lose accountability in the moment. And that is what this little checklist series is about, with a few episodes in between. Now, we're not talking about new checklists. We might be talking a little bit about some new roles here, but today, really all I want to do is continue to name a problem that's been hiding in plain sight, dressed up as efficiency. But first, our word of the day, and that word is articulate. And we will define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible.
AutoFlow is your partner in technology. With AutoFlow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how AutoFlow makes it simple, visit AutoFlow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit ShopDogMarketing.com.
Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com.
Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve.
We're back, and our word of the day is articulate. Articulate does double duty. As an adjective, it means expressing yourself clearly and effectively. You call someone articulate when they put a thought into words very well. As a verb, it carries two jobs. The first is the one you would expect to articulate something means to actually put an idea into words, to say the thing you are thinking instead of leaving it in your head. And the second is physical. And as automotive specialists, I think we'll agree in anatomy as well as mechanics, to articulate means to form a joint, to connect two parts in a way that lets them move together. Your ankle articulates with your leg bone. A ball joint lets your suspension articulate. Same word, a trait, an act of speech, and a physical connection. That is not a coincidence. And the etymology tells you why. Articulate comes from Latin articulus. And no, I don't know Latin. I'm quoting from, what is this? This is the online etymology dictionary for the curious. So Latin articulus, it's a small joint itself, a diminutive of artus, meaning joint or limb. The verb articulare originally meant to divide something into distinct connected parts. The speak clearly sense came later. Once people noticed that clear speech works the same way a joint does. It moves in distinct connected parts, one thought hinged to the next instead of one long blurred mumble. So keep this word in your pocket, because by the end of this episode, it's going to name exactly what we are missing in our processes in the auto repair industry. As I see it, as my views are shifting presently and will continue to shift as the technology emerges and allows us to do some things that were not possible until recently. I want to talk about the cost of this process as it is, because what I described in the beginning is isolation. People doing things in their own silos, technician or inspection specialist, performing their inspection, submitting it. In isolation, then our advisors reviewing that document and then translating it to a client where they have a conversation. The isolation I just described is not a scheduling problem, and it changes what actually gets found on the vehicle because a person is working alone in their own lane. They develop tunnel vision. We talked about this in episode 103, not because they're careless, because they are very focused, and focus on one thing always comes at the cost of peripheral awareness of everything else, in complex things especially. And I want to call that what it is. It's silent disengagement. It's not apathy, not laziness, a narrow task-locked focus that quietly excludes anything outside the job directly in front of you. And here's the part that makes it dangerous from the outside. Silent disengagement looks exactly like good, focused work. That is why it survives unchallenged in facility after facility. It does not look like a problem. It looks like someone doing their job. An example, I was doing an on-site consultation recently at an automotive service facility, and a vehicle came in for what should have been a straightforward tire job, actually all four. So the tire specialist, good at what they do, was working the vehicle through with exactly the focus you would want a tire job. Well, maybe not the one you want, but the one you would expect. They were very focused on just the tires, nothing else on the car. Fortunately, one of the facility's mentors was there, a more experienced set of eyes, happened to be on site that day, and they caught a loose tie rod on that vehicle, something well outside the narrow lane of we're here to sell tires. Without that second, more experienced person being present at that moment, that vehicle would have rolled out the door with a slam dunk tire sale with a genuinely dangerous steering component left untouched, and it, of course, would have alignment issues as well, and all sorts of other things that could go wrong and ruin even those new tires. So let's go back to the book that we were citing in episode 103. That's the inspiration, and I'm holding this up, and if you're watching this on YouTube, it's called The Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. It was written in 2009. Medical specialist surgeon Gawande writes some very compelling things on this, and for vehicles, a bad tie rod would be what Gawande calls in his book a killer item. And that's one of the small number of things that, if missed, it can be a catastrophic or fatal outcome, especially in operations and surgery. So a tie rod is a killer item. And the specialist who missed it was not incompetent. They're just narrowly and rationally, according to the facility's goals, focused on the job that they came to do. And that focus is exactly what let the killer item slip past, fortunately caught in this case. And I've been guilty of this myself, especially as a young transmission specialist years ago, 20 years ago. We would get approval to pull a transmission. We call it the RDI, remove, disassemble, and inspect. And as you take apart a vehicle to remove a transmission, you find things constantly.
But common item on trucks, especially here in Michigan, is rusted U-joints. They'd fall off while you're disassembling. These dried caps fall to the ground and you watch those roller needles explode in every direction. You see those things all over the floor all the time. In the rush to take things apart efficiently, though, we would fail to notate that and sometimes forget to come back to that item later on, narrowly focused on that efficiency of that individual task. So narrowly focused on a transmission that I was there to fix, the U-joint never made it into words until we went to install it and found the problem jamming us up on and creating a delay on, of course, like Friday afternoon, which is the vehicle's promise. Now we're waiting for the right U-joint to come from our parts supplier. It was maddening and it was constant. What we ended up doing, we wound up actually printing an RDI checklist and that we would fill out after removal to address this sort of thing. It was such a frequent issue. Same failure, though, as that tie rod story. No bad intent, no missing skill, even just one person narrowly focused with nothing and no one else in the loop to catch what fell outside of that focus. Unless my dad happened to be wondering, he was a really good manager by walking around, had that knack for always being able to say, hey, were you going to mention this? Are we in the business of fixing cars or not? Right?
It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit AutoFlow.com. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make.
What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words That Work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals. Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com.
So, look, we have the checklists these days. We're lacking is the communication. So this is the diagnosis, and I want to state it very plainly. Automotive service is not missing the checklist. Not today. We have DVI forms or even paper lists. They already exist. We've had inspection forms for years and all forms of permutations that they come in. What we are missing is the communication half of that process, and that's the part where a second person is present in real time to catch what one person's narrow focus cannot. And this is where Gawande's research hands us something very concrete in the checklist manifesto. He profiles Richard Resnick. He was the chairman of surgery at the University of Toronto, describing a feasibility trial his hospital ran using a much broader surgical checklist. It was 21 items. It was designed to catch a wide span of potential errors in surgical care. And again, if this topic is starting to intrigue you, pick up the book, The Checklist Manifesto, How to Get Things Right, Atul Gawande. I have so many notes and highlights in this, it's ridiculous. let's talk about Resnick here for a second. Some of those items were exactly what we'd expect. Verbal confirmation that antibiotics had not been given, that blood was available if needed, that scans and test results were on hand, that any special instruments were ready. But the checklist for them also included something Gawande calls a team briefing before the operation began. Before the operation began, the team was required to stop and simply talk. How long the surgery was expected to take, how much blood loss to prepare for, whether the patient had any particular risks the team should know about. Do you see where I'm going with this? We don't often stop to do this in auto repair. And Gawande sums up what that checklist was actually doing in one line, and it's worth reading it straight. And this is quoting from the book. Gawande says, "It was a mix of task and communication checks to manage the problem of proliferating complexity." We mentioned this a bit in episode 103, and we're mentioning it today. So task checks and communication checks together on the same list. This is the piece we have never built. All right, so Gawande takes us a little bit further later in the book, and I want to read this section closely. I'm going to paraphrase a bit here, but it names something that most of us in this trade have felt, but we haven't put into our own words. Gawande writes that, and paraphrasing a little bit here, page 182 and 183 in the book, he writes that every learned occupation, doctors, lawyers, teachers, pilots, has a code of professionalism, spoken or unspoken, and that code always carries three expectations: selflessness, that we put the needs of the people depending on us above our own; skill, that's number two; skill, that we aim for real excellence, that's our objective; three, trustworthiness, that we act responsibly toward the people in our care. So automotive service already has those three things. The professional shops I get to work with, we are not short on selfless, skilled, trustworthy people. For me, that was never the argument. I know there's other examples in our industry that are always unfortunately going to be there, but Gawande points out that aviators, I love aviation, so I get to keep pulling on this. I love that he touches on this so frequently in his book as well. He adds a fourth expectation, one he says is almost entirely missing from most professions, including his own in the medical field. That fourth expectation is discipline. And he defines it specifically as, in his words, discipline in following prudent procedure and in functioning with others. And that's the point I'm trying to draw attention to right now, very specifically, functioning with others, not just following a checklist alone, working inside a system built for more than one person. So Gawande sets that fourth expectation directly against something else that professionals tend to prize. Our industry is certainly no exception. Neither is it in the medical industry. And it's above almost anything, and that is autonomy in the independent aftermarket. Oh, the word autonomy here is wonderful. But he calls autonomy a professional lodestar. It's the thing we navigate our whole careers by. And he says it stands in direct opposition to discipline. What? Autonomy standing in direct opposition to discipline. Well, maybe not self-discipline, I suppose, but discipline more broadly. And here's where I want to go with you. It's because I have felt this myself, and I have watched mechanical specialist advisors feel it too. When someone else is brought into your process, standing there while you work or confirming what you say, it can feel like they do not trust you. And that's not where we're going with this. Someone just standing there scrutinizing and watching. That is not where we're going. But teamwork is where we're going, and we're going to redefine this as we continue through this topic. But your competence is not in question by involving other people in a process that involves humans. That reaction is almost always going to be ego, and it's dressed up as professional pride, and nobody enjoys feeling watched. We get it. But that is not what discipline is protecting against. It is not protecting against the lack of skill. It is protecting against that blind spot that every skilled person eventually has. the one that shows up exactly because you are good enough to stop questioning yourself. I mean, doctors forget to put masks on or even sanitize their hands. Some of the checklists that they have is just so simple about gloving up or sanitizing and putting the mask on to prevent the risk of inspections. And doctors who've done this a million times think they've just done it. I mean, this is what we're talking about. In aviation specifically, we've learned that the hard way in that field, more than once, paid for it in lives, discipline, functioning with others is not an insult to your competence. It is what makes your competence trustworthy under pressure on the 1,000th vehicle when nobody else is watching, but someone else will be watching. Not to confuse where we're going here, there's a couple more ideas in this book. And this is where two more ideas very specific come in, and that's group wisdom. It's the simple observation that the collective attention of a team functioning together reliably catches more than any one person alone could, no matter how good that other one person is. And Gawande describes the result of coordinated attention. The term he uses for it in the book that I want you to become familiar with is a cognitive net. That's a distributed net of awareness that catches what individuals working alone would let slip through. And notice what that means for that tie-rod story or the U-joint story that I gave. In both cases, the miss is not a skill problem. It was a presence problem. Nobody else was there in that moment to be part of that net. The mentor on the tire job was on the net. On my transmission job, the net would be dad walking around catching that thing at just the right time. And that, boy, did that happen in those years. Management by walking around accomplishes a lot, but that's not the point here. And that's not exactly where we're going to go. So I don't want to confuse this, but what I really want to draw attention to is the real cost of doing inspections, specifically inspections in isolation. And those who know me in my day job, what I do about coaching and consulting on inspection processes and workflow, and the inspection is an integral part of any visit to a repair facility. We cannot do our job as professionals unless we know the true state of health of the vehicle and understand our professional responsibility to make the vehicle safe, reliable, and efficient. Inspections are key, and things get missed there, and things fall apart every time they get missed, every single time. And you can point to it to bad inspection process, the beginning of visit being a root cause of many of the issues that plague our industry. The real cost of doing inspections in isolation with one person, no synchronous set of eyes and ears, it is not just slower for the client, even though it is that, it's just less accurate. Killer items do get missed, and it strips out the one thing that actually holds narrow focus accountable, another person present right then able to say, wait, what about this? We didn't mention anything on this line item. Take a look at that line item. Silent disengagement thrives in isolation. It cannot survive presence. That's the mechanism. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Digital systems are part of how we got here. I think the tablet and app, a silent DVI, they made it easier than it has ever been to document alone, quietly, without saying a word to anyone else. It's almost considered a part of the paperless process, is that we don't have to go to the front counter anymore to have a conversation with another person. And it's like, well, why is that a good thing? All right, maybe having the steps to the counter is not great, but the conversation piece happening synchronously with an inspection could be profoundly powerful. Removing that and doing things in isolation isn't necessarily a gift. It may seem efficient, but that's counting on everything going right, which it's not going to if we're doing it in isolation. Does that make sense? Right? So, and the irony is going to be really obvious here. The next wave of technology, and I've talked about one element of this already in several episodes back, AI voice dictation, natural language systems that listen to an inspector and route findings straight to the DVI, is an area we're rapidly moving towards. Not perfected yet, but coming very soon, I would expect. Certainly months, certainly not a year. This is about to reward the exact opposite habit, right? Those systems only work if someone is actually talking through what they see and doing well. They need a voice to parse, not a checkbox that's done silently. We're about to get to this point now where spoken language is going to become so much more valuable for speed, efficiency, and accuracy because of the mechanisms that we have to get it documented are going to be so powerful, but we don't have the muscles to use that technology yet established. So those systems only work if someone is actually talking through what they see. They need the voice to parse, not a checkbox. Again, I'll say it. We are about to be handed a tool that runs on verbal fluency, and most of our industry has spent years getting quieter, not louder. And that is the muscle we are out of practice using, not the technology, the talking, and that takes two. And it will continue, I believe, to take two people in the loop, not just an AI accountability partner, but two people. And you will see where we are going with this. So here's where this lands now. We built the task check half of the checklist a long time ago. The DVI form, for example, paper checklist, been around for years. What we've never built is the communication check half, the part where inspections happen with more than one person synchronously engaged, not because one person is not skilled enough, but because narrow focus is what happens to skilled people working alone under pressure on the thousandth vehicle. Silent disengagement will keep masquerading as efficiency for as long as we keep measuring efficiency by whether each individual person stayed busy instead of whether the vehicle and the client waiting on it actually got the full picture in the most effective means. Articulate, the word we open with, or articulation, is where this is heading. Competence that stays locked inside one person's narrow focus is not enough. It has to be joined to communication, spoken, connected, moving together the way a joint moves before it actually protects anybody. And here is the part I want to leave you with. AI is coming for this exact workflow faster than most of us expect, and it is going to reward the automotive service facilities that already know how to talk through an inspection out loud. The technology is not the hard part. The muscle is, and you can start building it now before you need it. And I'm going to give you an example in an upcoming episode. Now, next time in this series, we get into exactly what I believe this will or should look like in practice, the roles, the language, the actual protocol for bringing a second person into the inspection itself. For now, just sit with this. We have the checklist. We do not have the communication. That is the gap this series is going to close. I hope you find this as intriguing as I do. And if you are down for a little homework and a great, quick, fast, and fascinating read, please pick up Atul Gawande's The Checklist Manifesto, How to Get Things Right. That was by Metropolitan Books. You can pick it up on Amazon. You can contact me and we'll talk about all the notes and highlights you make too, and what this could potentially bring, these concepts and how they can improve our industry. This is exactly the kind of conversation I want to have. And if you want to have that conversation with me, reach out to me, speakup@craigoneal.net. And please reach out on anything that helps, suggestions, topics you're interested in, or any other topics you'd like to bring as a guest. I'm enjoying multiple guests lately with some wonderful people. Would love to have you as one of them, potentially. And also, please remember, listen up on the app to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Once again, thank you to our sponsors at AutoFlow, Shop Dog Marketing, Inbound, ServiceAdvisorTraining.com. Thank you, our loyal listeners, for being with us in this, what I hope is a fascinating topic. Get out there, listen up, speak up, and yeah, bring in that second person.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at AutomotiveRepairPodcastNetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.